The 44-day strike took place at a time when workers were fighting for safer working conditions and to reclaim wages lost during the Depression. In the weeks leading up to the start of the Flint sit-down strike, auto workers at General Motors plants in Atlanta and Kansas City had already walked off the job. But shutting down the General Motors complex in Flint would involve tens of thousands of workers and brought the fledgling UAW into direct conflict with General Motors. Mike Smith is the archivist at the Walter Reuther Library at Wayne State University.
The Flint sit-down was a major test for labor at large. It was a major stepping stone for the UAW. United Automobile Workers really might not have existed if this strike was not successful.
Al Baudette worked for GM in Flint in the 1930s. His job as a metal finisher was to buff metal edges down in the body shop. In a 2006 interview with the Flint Journal, Baudette talked about what it was like to work without a union, when health and safety rules were basically non-existent. Baudette described a dangerous workplace where a man could lose his job at the whim of a supervisor, and getting caught with a union card would get you fired. General Motors was closely watching the UAW in 1936, well aware that a strike was looming in Flint. A strike at an auto plant in Cleveland accelerated the pace of events. When GM planned to shift some supplies out of a Flint plant to avoid possible disruption to production, the UAW acted, ordering its members to sit down on the job, effectively stopping production.
When they tie a can to a union man,
sit down, sit down.
When they give him the sack, they'll take him back.
Sit down, sit down. Sit down, just take a seat. Sit down and rest your feet. Sit down, you've got a beat. Sit down, sit down.
For 44 days, UAW members held their ground. Striker Al Baudette recalled in a 2006 interview with the Flint Journal that the UAW members were very alone, sometimes fighting with GM security, local police, even other auto workers who just wanted to get back on the job.
They were against us. All the judges were against us, everything, the whole city, you know. But anyhow, we made it. We didn't give in.
Eventually, Michigan Governor Frank Murphy sent in the National Guard. But unlike in the union movement's past, when this kind of escalation would have meant violence and bloodshed, the guardsmen were not ordered to evict the sit-down strikers, but instead to keep the peace. Walter Reuther Library archivist Mike Smith says politicians like Governor Murphy were aware of a shift in public opinion in the union's favor.
For example, the President of the United States, Franklin Roosevelt, said, quote, "If I worked in a factory, I would join a union," unquote. When's the last time you heard a president support unions to that degree?
Eventually, General Motors relented and agreed to recognize the United Auto Workers. Smith says the victory of the sit-down strikers legitimized the UAW. It also served as a building block for future union contracts. Al Baudette died in 2007. His son Ron followed his father into the UAW. Ron Baudette, now retired and living in Mount Morris, agrees that over time, the hard fight was, if not forgotten, underappreciated.
It seems to me like there's a lot of stuff that I myself even took for granted, even hearing the story every day when I was growing up, you know.
The reality facing unions today is dramatically different than 75 years ago. Sit-down strikes are illegal now. The economy's different, the makeup of the workforce is different, and the public has a dimmer view of organized labor. There are a few monuments honoring the sit-down strikers in Flint. One historic marker stands on a lonely stretch of road near the site of a former auto plant, long since torn down and now an empty lot. The historic marker a few years ago fell victim to vandals. A short distance away, there are a few people hoping to recapture some of the spirit of the sit-down strikers. A handful of young men in their 20s is huddled around a wood stove trying to keep warm. On an empty lot that the property owner has loaned to them, members of Occupy Flint have filled a large tent with supplies they hope will keep them warm and their movement going through the winter. They are all aware of the sit-down strikers' history in Flint. One of them, a man named Sean, says he sees parallels between the sit-down strikers and the Occupy movement.
There's things that happened there back in the 75 years ago that are happening today. People's eyes are opening.
Another occupier named Jason agrees.
What they won for us has been like slowly bled away and changed back to the system that is what, you know, the industry mongers would like to see, which is like, low wages, low regulations on things like safety and health.
The occupiers see themselves as something of a 21st century version of the sit-down strikers. They feel they're starting a movement that can affect the kind of change the union movement achieved in the 1930s. Walter Ruther Library Archivist Mike Smith feels equating the Occupy movement with the Flint sit-down strike to be somewhat of a leap.
You don't have an industry that needs hundreds of thousands of workers where you have a base so that you're not only just occupying and having signs and, you know, sitting in a park, you actually have some tools, some physical tools, i.e. shutting down production, that can influence a situation.
Longtime UAW member and son of a sit-down striker, Ron Baudette, sees it a little differently. Baudette likes the occupiers, but he also sees the movement's future as limited.
These Occupy Wall Street people that are out there now, they're trying to do everything legal that they can. Every place they turn, they run into a dead end. You know, they're not asking for much. And they're peaceful as you can get. And what's happening? They're not getting anything done.
Baudette says for real change to take place, the occupiers will need to take a cue from the sit-down strikers and break some rules. The UAW is planning to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Flint sit-down strike in February, coinciding with the anniversary of the ending of the strike. I'm Steve Carmody, Michigan Radio News.